Because introductory remarks seldom have anything to do with the sermon, it's best to eliminate them. That's our key sentence for our SermonCoach.com podcast for today. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, welcoming you. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to begin this visit by reading your preaching tip from some months back from our SermonCoach.com newsletter.
Okay, I will do that. I wrote, "It's become almost commonplace for ministers to begin their time in the pulpit with a string of introductory remarks. Then there's usually a transition statement, something like, anyway, my text for today is, and then they'll read the text, and then they're into the sermon. These opening comments can continue for quite some time and make for a casual relationship between speaker and listener. Most of the time, what's said could be covered during the announcements, the pastoral prayer, or even by a slide during the offering. My feeling is that such remarks take away from the seriousness of the message at hand. Reset, a mood is set that's different from the one that implies, I have a word from the Lord that's important for you to hear, so listen closely. My preference would be for the speaker to capture me from his or her opening sentence. I want to feel that the person preaching as Jesus' substitute has worked on what's to be said and feels keenly about me not missing a single thought. Now, I know I can't support my feelings from a given proof text. Maybe just this is the way I like things being done thoughtfully and seriously. And that's in contrast to what seems to be the present state of the church. Loose and casual is apparently more where it's at. In some ways, maybe that's good. Then again, in some ways, maybe it's not. Anyway, that's one of my brief commentaries that I put up every week. So I look back, and I think what's captured the day is that almost all pastors start with these introductory remarks. And it drives me crazy because I think you are a spokesperson for the Lord, and you want to come in there with a message that you get into right away, and you're setting a nice guy mode instead of, I am here to present something on behalf of the Lord. Am I making sense to you?
You are. There's a sense of gravitas that's missing that perhaps needs to be there to focus the congregation's attention to the seriousness of what they're about to hear.
Yeah, and part of that is because if you create a service that leads right up to the sermon and then you begin this kind of casual talk and it breaks the whole mood of what is going on. The interesting thing is, though, I have listened to many, many sermons in my life. Most of the time, even with a guest speaker, the guest speaker will come in and they'll talk, and I'm talking 5, 6, 7 minutes. And, you know, they talk about where they've been, who they've talked with. It's nice to see so-and-so again. I've always thought good about this or that, and the church is so beautiful. I'm kind of overwhelmed by how attractive it is. And I don't know what they're trying to accomplish when they do this. I don't seem to have a hard time getting along with people, but in my own ministry, I want to start, you know, they've set it all up with worship, and now all of a sudden it's time to hear from the Lord, and I want to start with what I'm going to talk about. This is my subject, and it's very important that you listen to what is said, because this is a word from the Lord. So that's anywhere where I am in my mind, but I think it's probably a preference. Again, I don't have a proof text.
Well, it's very interesting because we come across this same kind of problem in adult education. There are certain organizations that have taught people how to be public speakers who are not comfortable being public speakers. Those organizations are very helpful to people that it's frightening for them to stand before an audience and speak. One of the elements that they talk about is an icebreaker, to do something to make you as the speaker feel at ease and to make your audience feel at ease. The interesting thing about that is in adult education, where people come into a class, they're there to learn, you're there to share with them whatever information you have. There are some volunteer teachers who feel they need to ice break every class. And so they might show a funny video, or they might tell a funny story, or talk about the football game last night, or whatever. They're actually wasting time because people in many cases are paying to come and receive this instruction. Once you have initially established a rapport with a class, you don't need to break the ice every time the class meets. Similarly, in a church service, the entire worship service, if it's been properly designed to be a coordinated worship service, wrapping the entire service around the worship theme for that day, which is drawn from the sermon, that's broken all of the ice that needs to be broken. Yes. The pastor doesn't need to break the ice further.
Most people are pretty acquainted with the pastor. I would have to say, where I attend church, the minister has tremendous passion and he upholds the word, and there's no question about that. And yet he does this introductory kind of dance in a way. And I've thought to myself, maybe I should talk to him sometime. And then I've thought again, maybe I should just keep my big mouth shut. I don't understand, because even when he introduces his text, it takes him a while to get into the preaching mode because he's set up, it's like a different personality somehow takes over. I like it when the individual moves right into it. And again, even if you take 5-6 minutes and say you're going to talk for 30-35 minutes, which is about how long the minister preaches, by the time you get into 25 minutes, you have to really fight to keep those people. And I notice, even though he's a very good preacher, about 25 minutes in, people begin to get restless. You can sense this from where you're sitting. So my personal feeling is, if I'm going to talk 20 to 25 minutes, I don't want to eat up about 5 or 6 of those minutes just with small talk. I presume it's not something that is that important. And then again, I presume it's something that maybe is more important than most people realize. But I do get this sense from people as they listen. They say, you have a seriousness and you get right to business. You move us exactly where you're going to take us. And I appreciate that. You're not wasting my time. Time is a big thing to me. I was in radio for so long, and you only have 12.25 minutes to do your message. And I find, even as I listen to radio, a lot of times in Christian radio, there's a lot of small talk and there's a lot of casual. And there isn't that sense of thus saith the Lord, which people, I think, are looking for. So I was writing that. I may have been in a funny mood when I did it. I don't know. I don't think I was. I don't seem to have bad mood days. But I've sensed this because I've seen it over and over again, that I go and here is this breaking of the mood. In fact, almost always with the given individual I'm thinking of, there's this beautiful worship time, and the worship leader will say, Pastor has asked us to concentrate on God being holy. And there's this beautiful sense where that music has brought you into the relationship with the Lord. Then all of a sudden it's broken. And I wonder, why do they do that? I guess it's something that just has become habit that nobody has challenged.
That's probably a good point. And I think another thing that feeds into that is, in seminary, where three-point sermon preaching is the norm, there is an interesting dynamic that takes place. If you listen to sermon after sermon after sermon, there's usually a strong amount of time spent on the first point.
Yes.
And then the second and third points kind of get dragged in at the last minute.
I had that happen just listening to a sermon, in fact, this last week. And the third point was the big point that was going to answer what the introduction was, and basically had no time to deal with it.
One of the things that our sermoncoach.com method of sermon preparation teaches is to choose a single subject and wrap the sermon around that single subject, knowing what that subject is and what response you want from the people. If you do that, you start out of the box in your sermon, focused in such a way that introductory remarks become superfluous completely. Now, you might start your sermon with some type of an introductory illustration, but it's something that leads in a very focused way toward that subject. I guess if we have someone listening to us that absolutely feels they must break the ice for whatever reason, let that icebreaker be focused completely on the subject of the sermon. And if they do that,
I'm wanting to cheer, Dean.
At least they'll be doing something useful in terms of making the sermon effective.
Yeah, we got right into what we were talking about this time, didn't we?
We certainly did.
Not a lot of superfluous or just chatter. Yeah, okay, good. We've accomplished it. We're just about at the end of the time. Why don't you repeat once more what was being said?
Because introductory remarks seldom have anything to do with the sermon, it's best to eliminate them.
Yep. We don't have a proof text, but that's our contribution for this time.
Thank you for joining us for our time together. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.